Well, good morning to you again. I'll go ahead and apologize to you ahead of time, because I'll probably be coughing at you from time to time. And the more I talk, the more I cough. So maybe we'll get through this real quick, right? Yesterday it had cleared up, yesterday evening late, and I was doing great. And then this morning, yo and behold, when I woke up, there it was again. So anyhow, we've got great preachers around here, so it's not too hard to get somebody to step up and take over in the event that I need somebody. Anyhow, if you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, our children are studying the Great Commission. So I thought maybe we would look at something to do with the Great Commission as well. Preacher next Sunday will be back in the book of John and get you back where you were. And it's kind of hard to, when you have to teach one day, one Sunday morning, to pick a subject that you can really alliterate on a whole lot. So you have to kind of shorten everything. So what I try to do is basically I try to pick something, and then I try to use that subject and how that we can relate that to our life, how it reflects on us. And so that's a little bit of what we're going to try to do this morning. Last week, we was touched bases a little bit on resurrection, being how it was Resurrection Sunday, right? Or the world calls it Easter. And what we did there basically was try to look at the resurrection and all the fake news that's going on and how that affects our life and the way we raise our children and our families. And I think if we put some study into it, we'll see that fake news works. Amen. And you've seen on the news this morning, there was some more propaganda starting up, going on. Always something new, isn't it? Well, you can turn the television on and it's just like watching a soap opera every day, right? The White House is almost like a three-ring circus anymore. But that's where we're at because of our disobedience to God. That's what has brought us to where we are today. And getting back to Matthew, if we had read on last Sunday, if we'd have continued on reading, when we got down to about verse 11 through 15, we would have seen some more fake news. We would have seen where the priest at that time had paid good money to the soldiers to lie about Jesus. They were told to say that he was stolen away from the tomb. And it works, folks. I mean, look at where we're at today. How many people today don't believe the resurrection of Christ, even inside the walls of the church, don't believe in the resurrection because of the fake news that they hear? And it doesn't matter whether, I mean, we call it fake news because it's just that, it's fake. And, you know, the thing with it is people know, they know it's not real. But if you continue to hear it long enough, they'll even believe their own lies. I mean, we've got proof of that when we look at the Democratic office, amen? I mean, they'll believe anything they say anymore. And I know we're not supposed to be on politics, right? Our preacher don't like anybody's talking about politics. Anyhow, it governs the way we live our lives, right? So anyhow, with that being said, I would like to just tell you, if you want to look up something, if you want to study the resurrection or the Great Commission, and a lot of people tell me where they don't know where to find things in their Bible. You know, how do I start? If I want to look up something. Well, you know, if you don't know where to find it in your Bible, there's a lot of programs out here. Folks, do me a favor. Don't go to the internet. Okay? You talking about fake news? That's where you're going to find it. And you look up things about the Bible and you look it up on the internet, chances are you're not going to get the truth. You'll get a part of it, but you're not going to get the whole truth. Go to your Bible. And if you don't know where to look, there's good books. There's good programs. Where do you get a good book? How about going down to a Bible college? We happen to have one, and we sell books. And they're usually good books, right? You know, they're picked through. Make sure that information is correct. However, remember, it's still not the Word of God. We have programs. One of them is called Power Bible. You can download it onto your computer. Very good program. It can help you find things. You can do a word search. It'll just pull things right up. Now, the commentaries on there are not Bible. They're man's opinions of what's being read in the Bible. So don't ever take any of that to be Bible. But you can still use those resources to guide and direct you to where you need to go to find out what you're looking for. So don't let these excuses get in your life and stop you from doing that in which you're supposed to do. You study the Word of God. And it's very, very important that we do so. All right, look at Matthew 28, and let's start in verse 19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, God here has given us a commandment. He just commanded us to go ye into all the world. Folks, a commandment, this is what we do as a people. We read this, and we just move on. We read it. We understood. God said to go and tell all nations, and we just move on. We don't stop to think that it's a commandment. And what does it mean by a commandment? When we speak of commandment, we always come back to the Big Ten, don't we? We always think about those 10 commandments that God give us. Thou shalt not lie, steal, kill. We know all these things. But it doesn't stop there. If God has given us a commandment and we disobey that commandment, it's a sin. You know, disobeying this commandment right here is no different than telling a lie. You've broken God's laws. And just because it's not part of the Big Ten, it's still a commandment. If you will, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And you have to work with me this morning because I've taken a lot, and I mean a lot, of cough medicine. Okay? So everything's a little fuzzy. All right. Chapter 2. Look at verse. Let me find the chapter first. Look at verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, this is a commandment given to us by God. Now, what happened to Adam and Eve when they ate of that forbidden fruit? They brought the sin curse to us, didn't they? Now, is this one of the Big Ten? This commandment that God gave them was not in the Big Ten. The law hadn't even been given at that time. Matter of fact, it's the only commandment that was given at that time. But because they broke that commandment, the sin curse was passed on to you and I. So was it important that they follow this commandment, even though it wasn't part of the law, wasn't part of the Big Ten? Sure, it was important. But you have to understand, it's no different with you and I today. When we're disobedient to God, we'll pay the price for that. We're breaking God's commandments. We're breaking God's laws, regardless of what the commandment is. So when we think of the Great Commission, and we think about how God has commanded us to go out and teach all nations, that's what we're to do. And by the way, the United States of America didn't exist at this time, did it? The gospel was given over in the East, right? And it has moved west. So we're part of this commandment, aren't we? The people are supposed to seek that which is lost in the United States of America. So we don't have to send somebody to a foreign land to be spreading the gospel. We can seek right here. And there's lots of lost souls right here in this country, right here in this city itself. The Great Commission goes on around the world. And it's a commandment from God that each and every one of us as a believer should be spreading and sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't help but to think every time I turn the TV on and I see the things that are going on, we look at our children in the world today, and we're all the time asking ourselves, why has things gotten so bad? Now, we know the Bible tells us they're going to get bad. And it's easy for us to blame. Matter of fact, if we look on over here a little further, we'll see where Adam, who did Adam blame for his sin? He blamed the woman, didn't he? And the woman blamed Satan. And it just goes on and on and on. Well, we're still playing the blame game today. We're all still blaming somebody else. But it starts right here with you and I. Each one of us is responsible to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out. And we have many, many excuses. A lot of us will say, well, I'm not a preacher. No, it didn't say that. It didn't say here in Matthew that you had to be a preacher. It didn't say anything about that. It told us to go and teach all that's been taught to us. So when we come in here in Sunday school on Sunday mornings and that we learn, we're supposed to take what we've learned and we're supposed to share that. When we come in here, folks, why do we come to church? Just think about, why do you come to church on Sundays? I know you come because you're not supposed to forsake the assembling of this house together, right? But there's a purpose for that. There's a purpose for that gathering. There's a reason that God wants us to assemble ourselves on Sunday morning. There's a reason that God has given us a pastor. Dr. Mickey Carter is a pastor of Landmark Baptist Church, and God has given him a purpose. There's a reason that he's here. And his purpose is to teach us. And then we're supposed to take what we've been taught, and we're supposed to continue to share that with somebody else. And if we want to see the world change, if we want to see revival in the world, we want to see things change, it's up to you and I. It's up to each and every one of us. And we can sit back and we can turn the television on and we can whine and cry about what we see, or we can make a difference. Each one of us. We're singing that song that Brother Burton wrote for us. It reminds me of a verse over in Matthew. Let your light so shine before man. Folks, the world should see each and every one of us and know that we're Christian. Every one of us, no matter where we're at, no matter what time of day, people should be able to look at us and tell that there's something different about you. If it's nothing but your attitude, you know, and I understand, we're not always dressed as a Christian, are we? And we have to work for a living. You know, we're not always at our best. But we can be at our best as individuals regardless of what we're doing. We can always be a Christian, whether we look like one right now or not. It doesn't matter, but we can still be one. The problem, folks, is that the world doesn't know the difference between us and the worldly people. And you'd be surprised, no matter where you go, you can go into a bar and there's a lot of Christians sitting on bar stools. It's sad to say that, but it's true. You know, sometimes we forget that we're just people saved by God's grace. You know, how many of us were doing things that we weren't supposed to do before we got saved? And there's many of us that continue to do things that we're not supposed to do after we get saved. It doesn't make you any less saved, but it does mess up your testimony. And it puts the zip on the lip, doesn't it? It stops us from spreading the gospel. See, Satan allows that fake news to get in, and he makes it look bad for us. And then when we get into a situation to where we're not living the life we're supposed to live, we can no longer share the gospel because our testimony's been destroyed. And it keeps us quiet. And it's sad to say, but very few Christians today can proudly go out into the world and spread the gospel because of their own testimonies. And our testimonies are, and why are they the way they are, is because we don't live up to the potential that God has given us. We were talking about that about Easter last week. Resurrection Sunday. To the world is Easter. And sadly, to a lot of Christians is Easter. Because we don't obey the commandment of God. If we'd have obeyed God and if we did the things we're supposed to do, we would be better people. Let me just put it to you like this. If you had to come in here this morning and teach this class, would you have studied your Bible yesterday? Yeah, I bet you, I believe you would have. You'd have probably studied it for a week or two if you'd had a notice. See, folks, that's the way we need to read our Bibles every day. See, you should be reading your, not just reading through it, not just reading the words. And it's okay to read. Some people just love to read. That's great. But you need to study your Bible. You need to read your Bible and study it like you've got to teach it. It should mean something to you. Because when you do that, you begin to get the gist of what God has given you. My granddaughter one time, her and I were standing on the front porch, and beautiful day, sun shining, sky was perfectly clear. And suddenly it just appeared a little small cloud, and it was growing, and it was growing bigger and bigger. And she looked up, and she was probably about maybe 7 or 8 years old at the time. And she looks up at the sky, and she looks at me, and she says, "Papa, look, God's painting." Boy, that just touched my heart. What's that got to do with the lesson? God's painting. She saw a little child, looked up, and in her heart she knew that those clouds were part of God's creation. Every one of us has that same thing in us. But we need to apply that to our everyday lives. We need to apply that to our Bible. Do you understand that the more you study your Bible, and you're reading Genesis today, and you read over in Revelations later on, and the more you learn, little dots start connecting themselves together. And they start drawing you a picture of what God's trying to tell you. The problem with a lot of us is that we get to reading and we give up. Well, I read and I studied, and I just don't seem to be learning or retaining it. If you'll keep studying, those dots begin to connect, and God begins to draw you a picture of what's going on in His book. And when you do that, you begin to learn. And by learning, it's easier for you to spread the Great Commission. It's easier for you to spread the gospel when you feel more like you have more knowledge that you're able to share it, rather than being zipped up all the time. Folks, it's up to us. And I can't say that enough. It's up to you and I. Every one of us is responsible for sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, I was a little deterred, I'll be honest with you. I just felt like the church should have been totally packed. I think there should have been standing room only on Resurrection Sunday. Where was the Christians at Sunday? Sadly, too many of them were at the lake or playing golf. And it was a beautiful day. Yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. I had family came in. They drove thousands of miles, okay. Hundreds of miles, all right. Bring them to church with you. Bring them to church with you. Don't let them pull you down. You pull them up. You know, we always use that excuse, I had family. Bring your family to church with you. My family's welcome to visit me, but Sunday morning we're going to church. Everybody's going to church. You know, I'm not going to ask them that you're going to church. You know, kids nowadays, parents, "Well, my child didn't want to go to Sunday school." I don't care. If you're living in my house, you're going, period. You know, folks, it's time. We got to take a stand. Parents, you got to take a stand. It's up to you. They're your children. God has given them to you, and it's your responsibility to raise them. It's not the world's. It's not the school's. It's your responsibility. You have got to raise them. And sadly, parents aren't even making sure that their own children know the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is the Great Commission so important to us? Why is it so important? God commanded us to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, the world out here is dying and going to hell every day. And we won't take a few minutes of our time to share the gospel. I believe with all my heart that most Christians truly want to serve God. They have a desire to serve God. A lot of us just don't know how. Or a lot of us think we are, and we don't understand what we're doing and how wrong what we're doing can be sometimes. Because we listen to what? Fake news. We're not getting in the book. We're not allowing God to teach us and talk to us. If you want to have a relationship with your wife, you have to speak to her, don't you? You show love one to another. You understand it's the same way with God. If we're going to have a relationship with God, we've got to spend time with Him. And if we don't spend time with God, how do we expect to have a relationship with Him? And I know there's things in the world. I know you say, well, you know, I work, I do this, I do that. I've got this going on. I got a house to keep. I got 12 children. And I understand all that. We all have the same things. Some of us might not have 12 children, but we all have the same things to deal with. Sometimes we're just too busy. Sometimes we need to start taking some things off the list. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have fun times with our families or anything like that. Those times are important. Have you noticed those times is where you build the strongest relationships with your family? Is the time that you spend with your family? Just make sure that it's a good time. Make sure it's the proper time. Make sure you're teaching the proper things to your children. Folks, I can't say enough. When my wife's a school teacher, and all the stories and all the things that you hear and all the things that are going on, it's disgusting in the world. But it's our world. We live in that world, and it's up to us to do something about it. And all the laws is not going to change it. No matter who's president, no matter who's in the Congress, no matter who our city officials are, they're not going to solve our problems. It's up to us to solve our problems, each and every one of us. Let me ask you this. Who do you think was the first soul winner? The very first soul winner. Go to Genesis. You're already in Genesis. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, who is seeking who? God is seeking Adam, isn't he? Adam had sinned against God, and now God is seeking him out. How about you when you got saved? Who knocked on your door? Who knocked on your heart? The Lord Jesus, didn't he? From the very beginning, God was a soul winner. He's still a soul winner today. He's our example, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look for heroes, or heroes of the faith, the first hero that comes to my mind is always the Lord Jesus. He sought out Adam in the garden. He died on the cross for you and I. He's a tremendous soul winner, isn't he? Each and every one of us should be soul winners. You know, look at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What was Adam and Eve trying to do here? They was trying to cover their sin, weren't they? They had seen, their eyes were opened, and they had saw their nakedness. They saw that they were sinners. They saw themselves what they truly are. And they tried to cover their sin with the fig leaves that they'd sewed together. How many people today are still trying to cover their sins? How many people are still trying to cover their own sin rather than going through Jesus? See, Adam here, this is the first step of a sinner getting saved, isn't it? First step. In order for you to get saved, you had to first realize you were lost, didn't you? And that's exactly what Adam just did right here. And look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now here we got God seeking them. God's seeking them out. And in verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Adam sees that the work of his hands, it's no good, doesn't he? He realizes that he hasn't been able to cover his own sin. Verse 11 and 12, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman, well, let's stop right there for a minute. Adam here admits that he's a sinner, didn't he? He admitted that he was a sinner. He confessed his sin to God. And that's the same, isn't that the same thing we do today? When God seeks us out, don't we realize that we're a sinner? We realize that we need God. And then finally, what do? We reach out to God. And we confess our sins before the Lord. And at that point, God saves us. Folks, this is the hope of the Great Commission. This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to share that gospel. The same gospel that's from the very beginning. It's nothing new. Every man gets saved the same way, realizing that he's lost, realizing that he needs a Savior, confessing his sin, and then accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us gets saved the same way. Now I want you to go to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. I'm going to read this verse to you. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Well, if you love him with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might, that's everything you can muster up, what's left. It doesn't leave anything else, does it? And listen to what it says in verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day. Command thee. So that was a commandment, wasn't it? We're commanded to love the Lord thy God. So folks, when we don't love God with all that we have, what are we doing? We're sinning against God, aren't we? We're breaking his commandment. See, this is where it's important for us to get into our Bible and study our Bible, because we need to understand where we're truly at with God. How many of us can honestly say that we've obeyed this commandment? See, this room is not full today because there's a lot of Christians that aren't obeying this commandment. They're allowing the things of the world to draw them away from their God. And folks, these things that God has given us, these things aren't to hurt us or to make things hard for us. These commandments that God has given us is for our benefit. It's for our good. The closer we are to God, the happier people we are. The closer we are to God, the more peace there is within inside of us. We begin to see things in a totally different light. Things that once seemed so important to us aren't so important anymore. We begin to see and trust and love of God for what he truly is, not what we want him to be. See, we as a people, even Christians, we have a tendency to make God who we want him to be, rather than conforming ourselves to that which he wants us to be. That's why the Great Commission, folks, if we just obey God, if we spent time studying and learning and teaching and speaking the gospel, we'd have no choice but to draw closer to God, because we would have to be living for our God to do that. Listen to what he says let me just read verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be as faultless between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Well, according to what I'm reading right here, our day should be pretty much filled with the things of God, shouldn't they? Amen. Folks, how many of us have done this with our children and our children's children? Folks, when we don't obey God, things don't go right. If we was to raise our children by what God has told us to do, this room would be packed. There wouldn't be, this building wouldn't even start to hold the people. But see, there's so much fake news going on that we allow these things into our lives and our children see them and it pushes them even further from God. Have you noticed, and I really probably shouldn't bring this up, but I don't have a choice. It just came to my heart and I just got to bring it up. I saw a picture what's that thing you call on them boxes that y'all got? Yeah, phone, but the things that, Facebook. I saw a thing on there, and it was a preacher. Somebody was showing it to me because it was the Easter sermon. A preacher was preaching to his congregation. This preacher was wearing pants and a shirt. I don't even think he had a tie on. And that's the first thing that came to my mind. Why is this preacher not wearing a suit and tie? Folks, let me explain something to you. Our pastor always has a coat, tie, always looks sharp as a tack, doesn't he? He does. He does that for you and for God. You know, your congregation normally is always just a little below. Their standards are just a little below what the pastor's standards are. You understand that? Well, that passes on down the line. So if the pastor puts his standards down here, where's the congregation? They're wearing shorts, flip-flops, t-shirts. You say, well, what does it matter? You're coming into church to learn. Yep. You're coming in where? Church. But what do we call this? God's house. God's house. Go to the Old Testament and look up what would happen to you if you was walking to God's house like that. Put a little study time into the sanctuary of the Lord. Put a little study time into that. Folks, when we come to God's house, we're supposed to be here to serve our God, and we should show reverence to our God. We should dress our best that we can for our God, not for the one sitting beside us. And God knows your heart. If the best you got is a pair of old raggedy blue jeans and a t-shirt, then that's the best you got. Clean it and put it on. But don't come wearing something less than what your best is. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. And when I saw that, it just kind of bugged me. I'm like, man, what's this guy thinking? Does he not think about what he's teaching his congregation? Folks, it's the same way with us. What are we teaching our children? You see what I'm saying? See where I was going with that? Everything that we do matters. So the Great Commission, it's not just one little thing. It's huge. It's a huge thing. And we're out of time. My brother, what is the count? 676.